Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And I feel like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like, plural. Big, lots of S's. Lots of E's in S. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man. That kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Well, I'm not recommending you join me, but I'm kind of in my own head right now. It's not a great place to be. I was here early today. There are negotiations happening, and I even wore, wait for it, a long sleeve shirt
to try to get a meeting,
as opposed to a t-shirt that doesn't fit. I decided to wear I'm still wearing shorts, but a little bit more
presentable.
Yes. And in the course of these conversations I've had for the better part of the last 2 hours, our boss and I were talking about sort of like preparation for the show, and just sort of we ended up in a conversation about the process, you know, the quote process. And I showed him what I do every day with you.
Mm-hmm.
All these different notes. I just don't ever want to have to draw a blank, right? So
sure.
I have, we just saw Greg Bauk, and now I'm hearing that music, the match game music in my head, but that's not what this is about. So just, I have this all written out, and then another associate in management comes by, and he says to her, look at this, look what Mike does, right? So, but they're both noticing that for all the different nonsense I've written out for today, 3 o'clock was blank.
Mm-hmm.
It was blank again. Three o'clock.
There it is, right?
I had nothing. And then it just
Mr. Belvedere. Sorry.
Yes. It just became my turn to talk. And I'm like, Well, I don't really think that that's going to be a problem. I do know what I want to say, though.
Okay.
So we don't have anything new from yesterday. We had Byram to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, Benson.
Benson is new.
That's right.
Benson happened last night after our show.
That's right.
I don't think. Everyone saw it coming, I think. So I don't think there's a lot of surprise. I think, when were you not? Friday. Well, yeah, you weren't here Friday. And I talked about it in this way. Usually, any move the Sabres make, or the Bills, really, the teams we care about, any move that gets made, it's not always a split, you know, there's yay and nay. And I thought Benson being extended had the potential to be the most positively received contract the Sabres have ever handed out. Like, is there a Sabres fan out there that would go, oh, yeah, but, I mean, maybe I did hear from some of them on Twitter, but I even said, I think that's just people that argue about everything. Like, I don't know that it's necessarily like people that really think it's a terrible idea. It's just like, let me be argumentative. Let me take the other side.
Don't be so sure there isn't a fan that would use maybe his points.
Yeah,
or his size.
Yeah.
I had a guy that I was sort of caught up in a Twitter thing between other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see.
Happens.
I know. But yeah. And there was somebody who was like kind of just on an island yelling about Benson to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, basically the guy said, you have to be a homer to like him. Now, this is from before the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think I've heard from this guy recently.
Right. I think the playoffs changed even people. I think we talked about him and, you know, the off season coming eventually while the season was still going on, or as the playoffs maybe had just started, and the first, you know, one day you might have just looked at their salary cap page and said, like, what are they going to have to, what's the off season going to be like? Not that I'm in a hurry to get there or anything, but like, what? And Benson is an RFA, and I think I said, bridge. I bet you can bridge him. You know, he hasn't really fully formed yet, and so you can probably get away with a couple of years and see what it looks like down the road. And then the playoffs happened. And he became somewhat of a celebrity, I think, during the playoffs. Now, that is not why you pay a guy, but it's a part of it. Like, his style, his impact on the game was much more far-reaching than just the points and assists or the goals and assists. And there were enough of those in the playoffs that I think could satisfy you. But just the, you know, how much of a center of attention he was on the ice and I think a pain in the neck to play against. I think his whole profile changed. And I don't know, like maybe even fans who were hung up on, and I admit this, I'll always point out, like, how excited do you want to get about a guy that had to, you know, it's like 40 points. You're not looking at a big producer yet. And that was the reasoning behind maybe a bridge. But I think once the playoffs happened, like, oh, okay, I can see it now. I can see him becoming like a 60-point guy on a top line. And, okay, that makes sense. So sign me up. So I don't know. Maybe there still is pushback, but, I mean, I'm certainly not going to get on that train. Seven for 7.5 sounds just fine to me and has, I think, the potential in a couple of years to look like the Tage Thompson contract looks right now, which is, I'm not saying Benson's going to score like that. It's just having a player that I think is going to be what Benson should become and already is becoming, locked in for 7 years at that number, it's going to age really well.
I hope so. I think it's not inexpensive, this price for this player. And he's a challenge for me just to try to keep it interesting. I mean, there were times in the playoffs when, you know, my jaw dropped from some of these Benson shifts. There was one against Montreal in a game they lost. It might have been game two where he produced a goal or even scored it from behind the net. Just sort of checking guys. And
yeah, like little off the net pass to himself kind of thing or the boards, whatever it was. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there were some really incredible Benson highlights in the playoffs. I think, you know, I'm not sure how much of a bargain it will ever look like, but, I mean, perfect world, it does. I think probably the Sabres, the best they'll do is to not be picked at for this contract, you know? They eliminate the possibility of an offer sheet. Like, nobody is going to be able to come for him now. And I don't know, maybe that would have happened given what the last point
if somebody was. I think if somebody would have been willing to go to like $10 million a year for him, then you could have had a real hard time.
Otherwise, you're just matching.
Otherwise, I think you're just matching. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I don't mean to set the number at 10. Maybe 8 would have been too much for them. I don't know. But you would have had to go. If you think the Sabres extended themselves, which they did. I mean, it's a prognostication. You're expecting this guy to be this impactful and more moving forward based on the evidence that you've seen so far from how he's played. And to go above and beyond that just would have been, I think, really hard.
Well, I'm not sure exactly the right word is intangibles for Benson. But I just mean that in terms of it not necessarily being in the numbers, his value.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a challenge for me. I mean, I'm certainly excited about him and their future with him. I'm not negative at all toward this deal. I wonder, though, as it goes along, I mean, if the team isn't winning, then I think he might be somebody we point to that, like, well, you spent this, here's how you did your stuff. And that probably only happens down the road. But you have to hope that. And I'm, again, not going to predict that this won't happen, but you have to hope that Benson is mature enough to handle this moment and what it means for his future. His career is really just getting started. But he kind of became Brad Marchand. I think if you asked fans of other teams what they remember about the Sabres in the playoffs, if they weren't watching regular season games, he might be the first thing they would say.
Yeah.
Like, just what it wouldn't be Thompson or
that's
talk.
Why I would focus on that, because it happened for me. Like, I literally, again, maybe right as the playoffs were beginning, I don't remember the timeline, would have thought, yeah, 2 for 10, you know, let's see what he looks like, you know, in a couple of years, and we'll revisit. But then the playoffs got here, and yeah, he became like the the guy on their team that I think the league was really sort of opening their, oh, wow, look at this guy. Wow, that, ooh, he's annoying. He's good. Like, you know, hockey fans generally respect that guy. They hate him if he's not on their team, but will always tell you, I'd love to have him on my side. He's that guy, right? You mentioned Marchand. That's quintessential the last 15 years. That's an example of the very top of the heap there. And, you know, Benson's got a lot of work to do to get to producing like that. I mean, Marchand was, you know, a top-level scoring player, top-line player on a cup-winning team. So Benson's got a lot of work to do to reach that, but
It's not impossible, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think it is at all, because you mentioned numbers, and while the points have still not been there, everything else says, like, they're maybe at the peak of their powers when he's on the ice. He has a very positive impact on the game. Scoring chances, 5-on-5, all that stuff, I'm pretty sure anyway that he's really good in those areas, which is a reason why if you're the Sabres – and you respect those kind of numbers, you make this bet. You just expect the rest of the stuff is going to come along with the rest of it. And maybe now he settles into, you know, whatever, wherever they're going to put him in the lineup, because, you know, we don't really know. The team's not fully formed right now. They're probably going to be some more guys in or out before we get to even training camp and the regular season. But hopefully he lands somewhere, you know, if he's on a line with Thompson, then I feel like the table is set for him to become, you know, a 60-point player in the league. And I know that might not sound, you know, it's not a point a game or anything, but $7.5 million is about what that costs in the league now. Like, that's just, this is how it is.
Are you making lines yet? Are you going to put him, you want to wait another week?
I haven't done it. No, to me, there's no point in doing it until we get through, you know, the holiday weekend. You know, next weekend, I think, is, you know, when I get back in here after the holiday, I think is when it's time to start drawing that up.
You don't want to put that down on paper until Robertson shows up.
Right. That's right.
And then you just have to start over.
Right. Yeah, no need to rush that. So, yeah, I did. It was funny. You know, we left here. I had a bit of a ride yesterday. Like, I was feeling really great when we started, and then, like,
I have this effect on people.
90 minutes into the show, I just sort of was like, oh, I don't like how this is. I'm getting all these Vincent Trocheck messages on my phone, and, like, I don't really like that idea very much at all. And by the end, you know, I sort of got to Robertson, and I, you know, pie in the sky. I did mention how, and maybe a lot of Sabres fans were like this, night before last, right? The Byram news happens Tuesday night. So Wednesday morning, I wake up early. First thing I think is, did they make another thing? Did they do something else? So I'm all excited to get up today. Maybe the rain had something to do with this too. Today, I was like, roll over, go back to sleep. I don't want to look at my phone.
Oh.
I guess I'm like, I don't want to see this Vincent Trocheck news. I don't want to, and it still hasn't happened, and who knows, maybe it won't. Maybe it will, and it won't be bad. I don't know, but I'm not excited about that. But, you know, still a lot to be determined. Like, it very much to me sounds like I watched a lot of Pierre LeBrun on TSN SportsCenter this morning, and
after you got up,
after I got up and looked and saw that there wasn't the thing I was dreading, like, okay, let's just dig in. What's going on? And, you know, the way the big guys are talking is like Kekalainen's talking to everybody about the fourth pick. You know, so,
well, he sounded yesterday. This is not necessarily a story. It wasn't a point I made yesterday, but when he was talking about the pick, we had a sound bite of his that we played back, and He didn't, to say the least, he didn't slam the door on trading the pick. He's like, for now, it's ours.
Yeah.
So he has been a pretty straight shooter, Kekalainen. And at every turn, Benson, he called it. Tuck, he called it. And even Byram. Like, that was kind of, everybody found out that Byram was probably going to have to go, and then he left. So I don't think we're getting really any surprises or, depending on how you feel, disappointments from him. I said yesterday, I'm kind of falling for this guy. Like, I feel like I want to trust him just at press conferences, and that's risky, and that is not, I got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, with this pick, how he described the situation yesterday, did not. He could have just said, no, we wanted this pick. Like, this is the draft is here. We're going to celebrate it and use it. And he just didn't say that. And you don't have to say it, but some people would. You know, maybe somebody else in the top five is not even open to a question about a trade. Mm-hmm. But again, most of the time in sports, the GM is. They say that they are.
Yeah. So I wonder if they won't just go right up to, like, if they prefer to move it. And assuming that there is, you know, there could be 3, 4, 5 more. I don't know. There could be a lot of people that could be interested in that pick. A lot of different scenarios. Defensemen, forwards, centers, wingers, goalies even. Like, I don't know. I'm sort of with Paul. He said late in our show yesterday, like, I don't want to trade the fourth pick in the draft for a goalie. And I'm with you there. With Paul on that. I mean, but maybe they go right up to the end. Maybe it's even the Sabres are on the clock, and when the I don't know if this is how it'll still work with the draft being the way it is, but when the pick is to be announced, if it's the commissioner or whomever it is, Bill Daly, we have a trade, and that's where they announce, like, whatever they did with the fourth pick. Who's got it now, and here's what the Sabres just traded the fourth pick for.
This is when the commissioner comes out, and he likes to read the trades.
Yes, right.
He reads the trades in the first round. He might do everything in the first round, like in the NFL. But, yeah, like that I can remember seeing Gary Bettman do is, we have a trade, and he sort of drags it out, and, you know, a good chance for him to not get booed, basically, just to...
Yeah.
When you're reading a trade, you're not...
Probably not.
You're not really getting
booed. Well, provided your fans like the trade. I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, I saw Brian Mazeroski tweeting about this earlier today from our sister station WBEN, big Sabres fan. He said
a Penguins fan.
He said
doesn't want that out.
Also, I guess I think we want to say he said, imagine that trade. Nyes for the fourth pick being announced at the draft with a bunch. I would imagine a lot of Toronto fans are going to come to the draft. The Leafs have the first overall pick.
Yep.
So, and Sabres fans live here. I would think there's going to be a hearty contingent of Sabres fans in there. You get that trade. Like, I wonder how that you know, our Leaf fans, oh, we've got the fourth pick. That's awesome. But we also just traded away this guy. We, you know, really like this guy. He's young and awesome. And same way with Sabres fans. I mean, that's what makes sports so great. I'm getting a lot of people that I don't, either they don't really know what I think Matthew Nyes is, or they do and they just don't care. They'd rather have the cheap, young, fourth overall pick, which is fine. I mean, that's where you want to stand. So I wonder even how that would go if that were the trade and it gets announced at, you know, whatever, 7:25 or 7:45 on Friday night. What is the reaction in the building? Because you've got the two fan bases that I think would be the majority of the crowd there on site, which could be a pretty wild dynamic.
And it really, I think, would be tough to call.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. I'm not sure it wouldn't be pretty evenly split, both fan bases, by that move. I know Chad doesn't like that idea.
He doesn't think the four, yeah, four.
He doesn't think Nyes is worth four.
Four is too much for, and a lot. Look, it might be right if you want to treat that pick like you should, which for the value that it is. It's got to be, what, a number one center or a top pair D? Bowen Byram, I guess, as an example, although, you know, we'll see if he actually can become that. He's not been that yet in his career.
And he was the fourth overall pick.
Yeah. So.
In his year.
But I'm, if anything, I might be guilty of just sort of treating the pick like found money. But, like, my process is this. I think I said, when it first became known that it was going to be unlikely that the Sabres were going to be able to keep Byram, they're like, I don't want to trade this guy, but I would trade him for Matthew Nyes. And so if I use the fourth pick to get Matthew Nyes, I effectively have done that. I mean, I know I'm probably not properly valuing the fourth pick, but it still is an outcome that I would be more than happy with. I got some other stuff too. I got rid of Greenway. I got this defenseman who might be a third pair guy. I feel like I'm in pretty great shape. And I replaced Alex Tuch with Bowen Byram.
I am on team use the pick. or trade around if you need to, even trade down. Yesterday you were laying out maybe 2, 3, 4 could be teams where moving down a couple spots, which I'm always here for that, could be advantageous. Otherwise, I'm on team use the pick, and I'm considering it a sign today that in the slate.com crossword, there was an entry. See if you can get it.
Okay.
5 letters. Spacey Icelandic songstress.
Oh, that's easy. Bjork.
Right.
Yeah.
Viggo Bjork, baby. Yeah. Let's go. 4th overall. No? Is that should I not be so mystical about this and just sort of be pragmatic?
No, I mean, that's fine. You want to use the pick. I mean,
you could do worse, right?
Sure. You could. I mean, San Jose is thought to need a defenseman. There's been a lot of talk that maybe they'll just stay at 2 and take the defenseman. But they could, I said this yesterday, they could probably get paid to move down and still get potentially, at worst, the second best defenseman in the draft, maybe even the first defenseman in the draft.
Right.
Go up to 2 and get Stenberg. Like, he's on your team next year.
You don't sound like you believe in using crossword puzzles as your guide when it comes to drafting hockey players.
Well,
so that's okay.
I'm supporting the idea of using the pick, but I'm using it. I'm paying to use it. I'm gonna give San Jose something.
What is
to
that
go
gonna be?
Draft Stenberg. I don't know. 2 spots. I don't know what that costs.
4 to 2. Do I get out Jimmy Johnson charts
right,
for this?
I don't know if we have
is it
that.
The same?
Right.
It wouldn't be cheap to move from 4 to 2.
I don't think so. No.
Next year's 1. Pick 20. Does 4 and 20 get you 2?
Maybe.
803-0550. Let's talk about
so
this.
There's an idea.
I mean, draft is tomorrow night. Sabres picking 4th for now. We've been through all of it. Benson signs. That's new. Tuck is gone. Press conference tomorrow in Washington. Virtual press conference tomorrow with Washington. We've got the goalie stuff we've talked about a lot, and Byram and more. How would you do it? How would you want to do it? Later, Stephen Ellis from Daily Faceoff on the draft and all of this. Paul Hamilton will join us too. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening, and lines are open for your calls next here on.
I think if you're going to extend yourself this summer, you want a slam dunk player, especially a slam dunk player who you're not going to pay for past performance. And that's why Robertson is so alluring to me. He's young. He fits well within this broader core. A freakish goal scorer from the wing, which is what the Sabres sorely need. I would put the Sabres on the short list of most logical landing spots for him as a player. And then from the Sabres' perspective, I mean, I think he's at the top of the list of, like, until you say no and you sign and trade with someone else or you move him elsewhere, I'm not going to let you go without making our best and final.
Travis Yost this morning on WGR. Little inside story that at about 10:30 this morning, I texted Chris and Zach that I got Travis Yost for 6 o'clock today, I guess it was. And then Zach responded, I just got off the phone with him
about,
on our
here.
Show.
Right.
So I told Travis, like, I didn't realize that. Sorry for this. How about next week? So Travis was like, sure, that'll be fine next week. But a leading voice.
Yep.
If you want to know things.
And I...
if you like knowing things.
I love this Robertson idea. It sort of got me through the back end of yesterday's show once I sort of stumbled onto it. And they're like, oh, yeah, they could do that. and I'm glad to hear Travis, you know, thinks it's a super cool idea, too. It's a lot, it'd be a lot. I mean, it's going to be a lot if you could pull it off. You know, like there's going to have to be money going back to make it happen. So I don't know, you know, Quinn, McLeod, I don't know.
He would be one of the best players the Sabres will ever have traded for.
Yeah, 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 definitely. The fourth pick is, now that's a scoring winger, so I don't know if that qualifies, if the same, you know, but he's a much more. He's a more dependable scorer year over year than Matthew Knies is. I actually like Knies' all-around game a little bit more, but he's not the player Robertson is. He cost you half as much as far as money goes. The contract is, you know, 8.5, I think, is where Knies is.
Or less.
Or maybe less. And, Robertson is thought to be, I think if a team acquires him, they're going to be acquiring him, agreeing to pay him probably $14 million a year. Like, that's what you're talking about.
It's more than $1 million a month.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's big.
Don't ever do that. Just becomes more depressing.
Yeah, I don't. I try not to.
Try not to break it down by months and weeks and days. How much money a day is that? I mean, good business to be in. Who doesn't love a spacey Icelandic songstress, by the way, Bjork? You know, it's spelled a little differently. There's an extra letter in the hockey player Bjork.
Right.
But, you know, right? Who doesn't love a spacey Icelandic songstress? Just even sight unseen.
Big fan.
You're a Bjork guy.
I saw her with her, the first band that was known to me, known to North America that she was in was a band called the Sugar Cubes.
Okay.
And I saw them, I had their first record on CD. I never got the vinyl, so I don't listen to it, but I mean, I could easily find it digitally, and saw them play live once.
Where?
At the Darien Lake of Middle Connecticut.
Darien, Connecticut.
Lake Compounds, I think, was the name of the place.
All right.
And, you know, amusement park. They played, I think I have this right, they were the opening band on a tour that featured the Ramones and Blondie. And we went to that. And so they're in Connecticut. And the singer, there was a male singer in this band too, a male vocalist. And he kept yelling in between songs, "Hello, Milwaukee!" And it was hilarious.
As a joke?
Did
he do that everywhere?
I don't know. I only saw them.
That's a great bit.
I only saw them in Connecticut, and he just after every song, he said, "Thank you, Milwaukee," and I thought, like, I love you guys.
That's a great bit. 803-0550. I want to say a little bit more about the Sabres. Good thing, right? We got 3.5 hours left. Situation when it was just the beginning of the offseason, we had the playoffs end, decompress. Then, all right, now what? There's a press conference, and I was much less enthused about keeping Tuck than, say, you were, or maybe most fans. I mean, we had a few really interesting callers around that time. Basically, was what's not to like here about this guy? You know, he's probably not done, even though he had a bad series. And, you know, we had EJ Raddick or somebody else come on and talk about how big he is and how the value of that. So, I don't know. It felt a little bit like I was copping out, but my ultimate thought on it was, if I've got a GM that's really good at this, I think I can find another version of Tuck that will not scare me as he goes into his 30s, you know, on the age curve.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can maybe trust this guy to find me someone else who you can put with good line mate options and get value out of. That's what I wanted to see happen. That's easy to say. Like, I don't have a name for that. I just felt
I do.
You did.
Nice.
Well, okay.
Nice is the perfect guy for that.
That's good, right? He's younger.
Yep.
And he would cost maybe about the same or less now that Tuck is signed.
Yep.
Very, very well. So that's what I was kind of thinking would be optimal. Let him go. Cash in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about another, you know, guy getting into his 30s,
yeah,
Skinner or somebody.
You have another Poso situation on your hands, right?
I would like to not have that risk. So I kind of want to be in the same boat right now about this all. I mean, Tuck did leave. That kind of sets it up for Kekalainen to replace him in kind.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Byram too. I kind of just want to trust it. Signing Jason Robertson or even trading for Connor Hellebuck are big-time ideas. I mean, franchise-changing moves they would be. And I'm not, going to hate it, I think. It depends. Tell me what it costs. But I doubt I would hate it. I think I would be completely supercharged for the season all summer if they were to do either of those things. But I still have to say I think the optimal course of action would be not to do that, especially if Robertson is going to be, a top five paid player in the league?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 26 only. Still, I think maybe this is going to end up at me basically saying, bring on Hellenius, Oslund, and Kulik, you know? And I I'm not afraid to say that because these guys, we've basically had this conversation every day. These are not complete unknowns. I mean, these are players that have, to different extents, demonstrated that they can play at this level, even in the postseason. I know it's so few games, but I still feel like we know something about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't want it to stop here. I'm not expecting that it will. I don't get that vibe from the Sabres. I think, you know, kind of everybody is saying there'll be one more. Maybe there can't be two, but there'll be something. And I'm on team, let's trust that. Let's use 104 tomorrow night and see if they can't pull in a good player that you've heard of that isn't 30 and go from there.
Yep. I really do think, I was talking with my son about this before I came in today, Leo, which is weird because he doesn't really follow hockey. We had a really good conversation about all these ideas. No, it was Owen. And I said, am I nuts? Like, I think I would rather have Knies than Robertson. I think Knies is, he is not the goal scorer that Robertson is. But I think he's a better all-around player than Robertson is. Robertson is not someone who you're going to be using to kill penalties. Knies killed penalties last year and the year before, I think, with Austin Matthews. Like, he's been a penalty killer. So you've got that piece if you're looking for that piece to replace Tuck. He's never scored 30 goals. 29 was his career high 2 years ago. But it replaces the size. And he's, you know, the contract is way more palatable. And he's 23 years old. And if I can do that without having to divest myself of the fourth pick, right? If everyone in the league, like, or anyone that's listening to me that thinks I'm crazy that I would trade the fourth pick for Knies, if you're all correct, and like the Leafs know that, they probably want NHL-ish players anyways. They probably would want one of these kids if you take the fourth pick out of it. Right, for me, the fourth pick is a way to avoid having to put one of these kids in the deal because they're not that far removed from what the fourth pick could be for a team. But if you want to, put that on the shelf and say, that's too valuable if you're talking about a second line winger to replace Alex Tuck, which is, you know, ostensibly what we're talking about. If you can do that with 20 and Quinn, or, you know, 20 and one of the kids. And McLeod or somebody, like, because the Leafs are looking for NHL players. Look at their depth chart right now. It's like there are some names there that you just are going to go, I don't even know who many of these people are. They still have Tavares and Nylander and Knies for now and Matthews. But, man, after that, it gets pretty thin.
And they have Radish.
That's right. They did that.
An interesting window, perhaps, into what they're thinking, Toronto.
Yeah, maybe.
Pierre LeBrun, most teams don't think that Buffalo will draft at four. Better worded, most teams think that Buffalo will not draft at four.
I think that's because they're probably talking to four, six, ten teams about something to do with, I'll bet they've called Detroit. Hey, can you get, you know, we'll include four. Can you get Larkin to come here? I'd be stunned if they're not doing that.
Well, what was 20? But the move to 20 also, by the way.
Yeah, right.
27 to 20 for Kesselring. We'll see. Don't turn that dial. Not that anybody has a dial anymore. Whatever it is that you have, don't turn it.
Don't press your
Don't
phone.
Press. Don't do anything.
Don't hit
Don't
pause.
Even move. Don't move. Don't. Keep your eyes on the road. Here's Larry with us. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hi. So a couple ideas. You know, I'm kind of with you, Mike. I would really like to see what they do with that pick. But my concern is having Tuck gone, I would love to see us trade with Toronto and get Matthew Knies. And for me, it's a no-brainer for Toronto because you're going to get number one pick. You're going to get McKenna. And then with the fourth pick, you can either get the first or the second-rated defenseman at a much cheaper cost because you're not going to pay him $7.5 million like you're paying Knies, and you can really start rebuilding. So I'd love your thoughts on that. But the other one I was looking at, would you think Winnipeg would take UPL and the 20th pick for Hellebuck? And if not, what do you think it would take? I don't want to give the fourth pick for a goalie. No way, no way, no way. I don't care how good he is. But what do you think it would take to get Hellebuyck? I'm thinking the 20th and UPL. I'd love your thoughts.
Good question. It's one that we've discussed.
That's way light, I think.
I think it's probably light, but there have been a couple trades already this week where for a veteran, teams want to get out from certain players and certain money responsibilities. So I'm not sure it would have to be incredible to get him either. But I think they'd want another player. I think 20, Lukanen, and a good young player might do it.
One of the kids and another roster player, I think, is probably where I'd land. Like a McLeod and a Quinn, or a Quinn, and one of Hellenius or Osland with 20. I think you don't want to include four, but if you were willing to include four, I think that takes one of the kids off the table for you. Right? And that's the trade off. Like, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that for a goalie. Well, okay, then you're gonna have to give up this guy. I don't want to give up this guy. Okay, we're back to four. Like, I would rather give up four than one of those kids myself right now. I would say that because I am optimistic about it. I think there's reasons to be optimistic about all of them, even if it's not next year immediately. And I don't know what, four, you just never know. Bird in the hand, I think you've already developed these guys. You're bullish on them becoming important players for you. Sure, there's a long list of great players who were picked at four. There's, I'm sure, a list of guys who completely went bust that were picked at four. Like, it happens. It's a draft. So, the value
even
of it.
Even Bjork?
What's that?
Even Bjork?
Even Bjork. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Larry. I mean, appreciate you jumping in with us here. Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff, coming up in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.